the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, May the 3rd, 2021, a couple of days away from Cinco de Mayo and my wedding anniversary. Married on Cinco de Mayo, so it would be very easy to remember because that's a day to celebrate, right? We're in the 11th year right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. 1030 is our radio station. KVOI, we are Arizona's Tucson's trusted news talk source worldwide, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presents our Monday political face-off. Family owned and run since 1985. That's been my go-to place probably since I moved back to Arizona in 1988. Moe does such a great job. Anything that you need framed will be done in a very professional manner, and it will look like it's ready to go into a museum. They're also doing e-commerce, so if you get a chance, check out moesgallery.com and look at the really nice items on the website, moesgallery.com, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Our Monday political face-off team with me in studio today, John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and a one-time candidate for Arizona governor. John, how are you?
I'm great. Had a great weekend, Bill.
Another well-known attorney seated to John's right, but seated to my left, is Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, did you, being a horseman, a horse person, you loved the races, and I'm sure you watched the Kentucky Derby.
Absolutely.
What about that horse, Baffert's horse?
That's amazing. Well, he was quoted as saying, even in our local paper the other day, that he'd need a lot of luck to win that race with the horse he had. His two best horses weren't in the race. One was injured, and one of them has not turned out as to be as good as he thought it was going to be. So he was right. He needed a little luck, and he got it.
Small horse up against up against those big horses. And John, this horse, I think this was his fifth race. He's never been behind in any of the races. So,
well, he's a great horse, apparently.
Yeah, so we'll see whether he is. I think they'll enter him into the next race.
They'll enter him.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a short gap. If he's healthy and well, I expect we'll see him in the next one.
The census is now going to keep Arizona at 9 seats in the House. John, this was a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a surprise, and it's unfortunate. You know, there's talk about out there about is there some fraud involved? I have no evidence of fraud. I think that just a lot of people in Arizona didn't fill out the census forms. That's the only information I have, and if you don't fill out the census forms, we don't get the seats. So you got to fill out the census forms.
It's the first time, Jeff, since 1960, the census in 1960, that Arizona has not picked up a congressional seat. So it doesn't really jive. Arizona is one of the fastest growing states population-wise. That means, as John was saying, a lot of people just blew off the census. They didn't
fill
it out.
Well, I think there are two main factors that caused that. One was probably COVID. And the second one was that there was a deliberate attempt by the Trump administration to suppress Hispanic and Latino turnout on that.
That's baloney.
And I think they started off with the citizenship question. And I don't think a lot of people ever realized that the court said, no, you can't ask that question. And I think there was a lot of suspicion in the Latino community, and therefore a lot of people didn't turn back the ballots. And the other thing was,
did that question make the census form?
No, it didn't. It didn't make it. It was batted down by the.
But you think
courts.
Maybe just the publicity,
the mention of it, publicity of it. Yeah, yeah. I think that harmed the turnout. And you have to realize that we didn't do a lot in Arizona to push the census. Like we were talking during the break before we started this, that Minnesota spent a fortune to keep their seats and not lose a seat. And one way they did that was by encouraging people to turn out. And they were just, if they had 300 and some odd fewer people respond, they would have lost a seat. And so, and conversely, New York, which did lose a seat, if they had had 800 more people show up or turn in their forms, they wouldn't have lost the seat they lost. And so the margins are pretty thin. I don't know. I haven't seen any figures to see what it was that we would have needed in additional people turning back the forms to put us over the top for one more seat. But I was shocked. I really, really expected us to clearly get one more seat, but it's not going to happen.
We all counted on one more seat, and we're going to have to wait until the 2030 census to get our seat. Maybe we'll get two.
What about Jeff suggesting, just the word got around the Hispanic community, that they would ask about citizenship?
There's no evidence for that. That's all in Jeff's mind. And Jeff will blame Trump for anything he can figure out to blame him for.
So he has to blame Trump at least once.
He's
got
to blame Trump
during our century. So he's getting it off the top.
Maybe, you know, I'm sure we'll hear more.
But this now, okay, we don't pick up a seat, but now we are in the process of redistricting the state.
Well, and you have to do that because the state population changes. For instance, you know, Pinal County has been one of the fastest growing areas of the state. Maricopa County is always one of the fastest growing areas. And so we may see some movement of the number of legislative seats that may be Tucson. Maybe Tucson will lose some legislative seats, you know, or they'll be diluted by including more outlying areas in those seats. And the same thing for the congressional seats. You know, some parts of the, if they just left them identical to where they are now, then you that would not account for population changes that we've seen in the redistribution of the population throughout the state.
I predict that the districts will change.
But not much.
I don't think they'll change much.
Now you're talking about congressional districts?
Congressional districts, yeah. I think the House and Senate, state House and state Senate districts may change. But I don't think there'll be huge changes in the congressional seats.
John, what are you hearing about a congressional run in CD2 on the Republican side? We've got two well-known, well, pretty well-known Democrats, Dr. Randy Fries and Kirsten Engel on the Democratic side. So who might have the kind of the inside track?
Well, the one I'm hearing about is Juan Ciscomani. Juan is just a wonderful person. He's got a gorgeous family, and he's just an everyday guy. He's come up by his own bootstraps. He's a well-known within the Republican Party
as a moderate, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a well-known guy, and he speaks his mind. But he's very civil about it, and has some strong feelings about various issues. Bill, I always have a trouble with this term moderate. What the hell does that mean? But he's a nice person. You know, he's not an ideologue by any means. He has strong views on various issues. But he's a nice person, genuinely nice person. He's got the right demographic, and he's well-known within the Republican Party. So I think if he can make it through a primary, I think he'll be a very strong candidate in the general.
The reason I use moderate, maybe I should start using centrist, because I think, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the people are centrist. I mean, you've got the very vocal people on the Republican side who are far to the right, and the same as on the Democratic side. Am I wrong about that?
Well, he's a reasonable person.
Yeah, but about that term, centrist.
Centrist is fine. he understands the issues. He's not a radical by any means.
Not a flame throwing.
No, not at all. He's a nice person.
Okay, what do you think, Jeff?
Well, I don't mind the use of the word moderate. I think moderate, centrist, they're kind of interchangeable. I think that in a district like CD2, you really do need a centrist or moderate candidate on both sides of both parties in order to hold that seat. I mean, Jim Colby held it for a generation or more, And he I would describe him as a moderate Republican.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, he supported a woman's right to control her own body, and that was pretty rare. Now it's even more rare for a Republican to do that. And he was very conservative on trade and military and economic issues. And so, he fit the right balance for that district. And it's going to take someone like that from the Republican Party to win that seat. Juan might be the right guy, but it's a in this day and age, it's difficult for someone moderate or centrist, however you want to describe them, to win a Republican primary.
Well, it's hard for a Democrat to win a moderate centrist to win a Democratic primary.
Not in this that district, it's not. And certainly in Grijalva's district, we would say that. But in that district, we have tended to nominate some pretty moderate people.
All right, guys, hold your thoughts. Let's take a break right here. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I love Mona's, and so many of you are discovering it. Find out what all the excitement is about. They're open right now. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle, the Scandinavian pastry that's light and tasty, multi-layered with some wonderful fillings that are available. I prefer the almond.
I'm leaving now and going to Mona's.
I thought you might be ready for a Kringle right now with a cup of coffee. It would taste really good. Or Jeff, I know Jeff likes the full breakfast. Let's see if I recall, Jeff, you want the two scrambled eggs?
Yes.
And the hash browns.
Delicious hash browns.
The hash browns. Any meat with
And the cream cheese Danish is awfully good up there.
There you go. Any meat with your breakfast?
Oh, usually it's bacon or sausage.
Okay. And don't forget, the Kringle, its cousin, which I really, really tend to go with, is their Scandinavian coffee cake. I mean, it's same kind of thing. It's the Kringle sort of shaped like a pretzel, and the coffee cake is just more of a rectangle. But they're both great. Mona's DanishBakery.com. We'll be right back. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll do a Biden report card on the first 100 days with Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Let's hear what their grades are.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. all of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. We are back with the Monday Political Face-Off in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And our Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger is here and Jeff Rogers. The first 100 days of the Biden administration, that day arrived on April 30th. Let's quickly go through the Philadelphia Inquirer's report card. Policy making progress. According to the Inquirer, that progress concerning personnel and professionalism, reviving alliances in Europe and Asia, A-. Combating the epidemic, A- to B+. China policy got a B+, John Munger. Russia relationship, A+. Ending the Afghani war, C-. And reviving the nuclear deal with Iran, incomplete. John Munger, your thoughts?
Well, I would give an incomplete on everything. I don't know what...
On each one of those categories?
Yeah, I don't know what Joe Biden... If you think about it, what has Joe Biden accomplished? He hasn't done anything in particular for the reuniting with our allies. Donald Trump did far more than that in getting the NATO countries to pay their fair share of the NATO defense pact. Biden hasn't done anything. Biden has retained Trump's policy to some extent with regard to Russia and China. They both played tough with Russia and China. We'll have to see what Biden does. He's got a problem because his son is in business with the Chinese oligarchs.
What's that, Hunter?
Hunter Biden. The pandemic, Trump was the one that set up the Operation Warp Speed and got us the vaccines. So that's a nothing.
So it sounds like you're actually going to give a grade of incomplete to every one of those categories.
What has he done except divide the country? He has refused to meet with Republicans on any issue. He won't meet with Republicans on any issue, and meanwhile the Democrats introduce bills that aren't going to pass, and there is no collaboration between the parties. These are radical bills, and Biden isn't doing anything to further bipartisanship in the House and Senate. Meanwhile, we've got a border that's completely out of control. He didn't like Trump, so he ended all of Trump's policies that had ended the invasion of our border and set back our security on the border. I just don't see what Biden has done. What?
Let's ask Jeff.
If you think about what has he done?
Let's ask Jeff.
Well, every day during the Trump administration, I woke up and thought, what kind of crazy, amazing, crazy stuff has he done today? We don't wake up that way every day anymore. He has returned what I call a return to sanity. Today there was a poll released from the ABC News Ipsos that said 64% of Americans are optimistic about the future of America. That's the highest it's been since 2006 when it was 61%. So what has he done? He's returned us to sanity. He's returned America to a place that we're no longer worried, sick about what's going to happen next every day.
That's because he's in nothing. He doesn't do anything.
And not only that, let's talk about the coronavirus. The vaccines, we've already heard from all the experts that he had no plan in place to distribute the vaccines when he left office. And Biden not only promised 100 million shots in 100 days, but he doubled that and did 200 million in that period of time. He passed a COVID relief package with no support from the Republicans, which extended unemployment benefits, which gave everyone a booster check of, well, most everyone, of $1,400 per person. He has an approval rating in the mid-50s, something that Trump never achieved during his entire 4 years as president. There has been no allegations of any kind of corruption in his administration, whereas it was a daily affair in the Trump administration. He hasn't called anybody a name. He hasn't belittled or demeaned or insulted anybody in the entire period of time he's been a president so far. That was something we saw daily from Trump. And his foreign policies, he's finally bringing to an end a 20-year war that should have ended long ago, that Trump even promised he would end but didn't come through on that promise. He sanctioned Russia for their cyber crimes committed against our intelligence and our corporations. And for their election interference, something Trump would never do. He was basically Putin's poodle for 4 years. He has re-entered the United States in the Paris Climate Accords. He has healed the wounds that Trump delivered to our allies across the world. And in the economy, we had one of the largest jobs creation in March of any time in our history.
John, what about infrastructure? That seems to be the next focus.
Well, we need an infrastructure bill. Everybody agrees we need an infrastructure bill.
Yep.
But what Biden has proposed is way beyond infrastructure. It's a bunch of social programs. He's talking about another $4 or $5 trillion of spending, most of which is not infrastructure. It's not roads and bridges. It's a whole lot of other things. It's social programs.
Republicans would go along if it was targeted just Republicans to the infrastructure.
Republicans have made proposals about infrastructure, but the Democrats won't even discuss it with them, and Biden won't discuss it with them. Biden won't even meet with them. Jeff's comments are, well, Biden basically has not really done too much. What he has done, get us back into the Paris Accords. Well, whoop-de-doo. That's not a big deal. We are already cutting our CO2 emissions. The big offender is China, and China isn't required to do anything in the Paris Accords for 20 years. And Russia's a big offender. They aren't required to do anything. We're going to trust them to do that while we spend hundreds of billions of dollars in that program. I don't think people understand that we've got to spend money, and China and Russia don't have to do anything. We've got a great economy, but Trump had been saying all the way along, we're going to come out of this COVID thing with a great economy, and we are.
All right, Jeff.
But the fact that Biden is doing nothing, a lot of people consider quiet government good government. But if you do something, as Trump did, a lot of things, it upsets people and it upset Jeff. But that's too bad. A lot of things got done. Biden's doing nothing.
Well, we've got to think in the 21st century mold about what infrastructure is. It's no longer just airports, roads, bridges, but it's things like rural internet services. In our rural areas and many of the red states, there's just no internet service providers that are providing internet service. And that means that people in those areas can't have access to broadband and other things. And we have to think in terms of things like community colleges. That's infrastructure. It is education, but it builds our infrastructure to have people qualified to work and do jobs that they weren't qualified to do before. And the same thing for preschool. Preschool, 2 years of preschool is one part of his infrastructure plan. That allows people to work or work from home or get jobs. Well, in 21st century thinking, John, it is infrastructure. Infrastructure is not just roads, buildings, and airports anymore. This is the 21st century, and we're a high-tech economy, and we have to think in terms of that high-tech.
All right, guys.
Biden's program is cradle to grave, government takes care of everything, from now, even preschool, all the way through college, and it's all free. That is not infrastructure. I'm in favor of broadband for the rural communities, incidentally, and I think the Republicans support it as well.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers, hope you have a great week. Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
You're welcome.
In. And, John, hope it
My
goes
pleasure.
Very well for you, okay?
Well, thank you, Bill. And to Jeff.
Thank you very much. We'll take our break right here. We'll hear what General Wickham talks about next about this withdrawal of American troops, the drawdown already beginning in Afghanistan. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Want to talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Green Things. They have 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. They are open daily, 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com, and when you're over there, stop at Zocalo Village, 5 freestanding buildings chock full of beautiful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, and home accessories, and some beautiful gifts. Their website is zocalovillage.com. Green Things, in their 51st year, what a great sponsor they have been for the Buckmaster Show. They are open right now. They're open daily. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, and we're very honored to have him, retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the U.S. Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year in the hospital recovering. This highly decorated West Point graduate returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for renegotiating the release of all prisoners of war. And he joins us now on our live line. General, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and on your wonderful, wonderful program.
Thank you so much. General Austin Scott Miller, the commander of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He also, General, commands NATO's Resolute Support mission. He announced yesterday that all forces are now preparing to retrograde. Well, we've heard that term before, and I know you're familiar with retrograde. We heard it in Vietnam. It's basically an announcement that U.S. forces are pulling out of a region. How dangerous is that right now for our American troops in harm's way?
In my humble opinion, Bill, I think it's the wrong thing to do, and I'll explain why. I support the Biden administration wholeheartedly, but in this area, I think they're making a mistake. Why? Because Afghanistan is in the critical location. They have been a source of terrorism in the United States, and they can be a source of trouble in the future. We need to keep some capability there, not to fight, but to advise and to share intelligence. One of the things I discovered in Vietnam, I mean in Korea when I was over there as a commander, was that here we're ready to go to war with the South Koreans to defend their country, but golly days, we were not willing to share all intelligence with them. And had not been for years. Well, wow. I fixed that. I established an arrangement for sharing complete intelligence with the South Koreans, and it's there now. And we need to have that capability in Afghanistan. It doesn't require a lot of troops, but it does require a capability and some advisory people. So we need to keep that capability, in my humble opinion, in the region, because the settlement of the situation in Afghanistan is going to require regional involvement. The United States, Britain, Pakistan, and India, and Russia, and maybe China. So we need to have that more capability than we think we do.
I agree with you, General. I think that just makes sense. Yes, we're going to pull out all of our primary forces, but there should have been some kind of a clause in there saying that we would stay in Afghanistan with advisory capability.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Bill. As usual, you're always right on top of things, and I think the American people need to express their opinions about this and see that the foolishness of going ahead with this kind of thing. Yes, we'd like to get our troops out of harm's way. That's true, and having served in harm's way. But I think in this case, we should keep a capability there that the American people are not aware of, and I saw that, as I mentioned, in South Korea. So,
and of course, Vietnam, the situation just turned into a debacle, the withdrawal, so much equipment and was left behind, and it was just chaos. I'll tell you, when the rear guard is in danger, when you know there are troops being pulled out, I'll tell you, this is when we may be very vulnerable from the Taliban, not only in Afghanistan, but I worry about here on the home front, General Wickham.
You're exactly right, Bill, that they sense this as sort of a weakness.
Yes.
In our part, that we're pulling out, and therefore we are vulnerable in places we don't want to be vulnerable. So you're exactly right. If you're going to be a world power in the United States, and I think Joe Biden is moving in that direction to get us back in the world power situation. If we're going to be a world power, we have to be willing to commit some capabilities around the world and just think about the value of what we're doing rather than just sort of get out, and go home. I don't think that's the right approach right now.
Because additional resources, we could have set up some kind of a capacity that from an advisory situation, it wouldn't take that much manpower or men and women to be advising the Kabul government on security.
Amen, Bill. Just maybe a few hundred, that's all. Maybe not even that. But in any event, you're right on top of the issue.
Well, the North Koreans are not happy about being referred in President Biden's speech about the first 100 days. Biden was talking about the dangers of North Korea, and the North Koreans have verbally shot back saying, we expect better rhetoric and words coming out of Washington. North Korea is really a sleeping, dangerous giant at this point, and still is.
It is, Bill, exactly. And I think the Biden administration is right to challenge North Korea as they are challenging the United States and our current president. I just think it's a typical North Korean behavior. And the North Koreans respond to strong leadership in the world. Look what they've done, they're working with China and with Russia. So they will respond if we are strong. But I think we need to be cooperative and be willing to sit down with them and negotiate. Now, are we going to be able to negotiate the riddance of all weapons in North Korea? I don't think so in the short term, but maybe in the long term we could, with a lot of quid pro quo to the North Koreans. But I think we have to work very hard at building a relationship with North Korea, and that's not going to be done when we intimidate them by curious kind of criticism of them. And I think we've done that with the previous administration in spades. But I think the Biden administration has got the right kind of people that are working with the North Koreans and the South Koreans. So I'm optimistic about where we're headed.
So with the North Koreans, when you sit down with the North Koreans, General Wickham, you say, from what I think I'm hearing you say, you sit down and you say, we're not going to take your nuclear arsenal. We're not going to take your nuclear weapons. Can we talk about some areas that we can work together?
That is exactly right, Bill. And the previous administration, their philosophy was, we're not going to talk to you, North Korea, until you agree to give up all your weapons. The North Koreans are not going to give them up in the short run.
No.
Why? Because the North Korean leadership from Kim Il-sung that sought to reunify Korea was that we're losing the war in Korea because we don't have nuclear weapons and we're going to get them. So the grandson of Kim Il-sung is not going to give them up. I wouldn't if I were the leader over there either. So But that doesn't mean we can move in that direction of giving them up. Look what we did with the Soviet Union during the Cold War, when we were able to negotiate the North, the Russians to destroy hundreds of nuclear weapons and to allow inspections all over Russia. So I think we can work with the North Koreans, but it's going to take strong leadership and committed leadership and informed leadership, which a previous administration did not have.
All right, General Wickham, you sound at the top of your game, and you're a man who will be having, celebrating, let me see if I get this right, 93rd birthday in June. Did I get it right or no?
That's right, Bill. You get everything right. 93rd birthday.
There you go. So you're sounding great. General Wickham, thank you very much. We're honored to have you on the program. Thanks.
Well, God bless, Bill. You do a wonderful job with informing the public about issues that we all need to be informed about. And we need strong media, not critical media, but strong media that's objective. And you are one of the pillars of that.
Thank you so much, sir. All right. We will talk to General Wickham on the first Monday in June. Until then, stay well, General. Thank you very much.
God bless, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Want to tell our listeners about one of my favorite places. So beautiful this time of year, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where the welcome mat is once again down, welcoming Tucson visitors, Southern Arizonans back to a great area in the land of enchantment. You can start your trip planning, and I hope you do. Just go to your computer and Google southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a wealth of material about great places to stay and so many really wonderful things to do. Most of the activities are outdoors, so you'll have a great time, only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Let's go now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, for the Mexico Report with Keith Rosenblum, longtime border observer who worked for The Republic and the Arizona Daily Star as a border reporter, and he is with us right now. Keith, how are you, sir?
Keith, doing very well. Bill, after a week making sure that Mexico was still there, still friendly, still travel navigable, and very upbeat after six of us going on a one-week trip throughout the country.
Where were you exactly?
We were exactly in the following places. We flew. We decided to do everything domestically, so nothing international about this. Drove from Tucson to El Paso, crossed over to Juarez Airport, flew Ciudad Juarez to León, Guanajuato. A two-hour flight, it costs all of $25 for the flight plus $20 for the use of the airport fee. The taxes are high on the flight, but it was practically a giveaway. I mean, it cost me less to go 1,000 miles from Juarez on a very nice flight with Viva Aerobus Airlines than it would have cost to go from Tucson to Casa Grande or Tucson to Phoenix on a bus or with gas. So.
Wow.
Anyway, from León, it was bus, super bus network in the country, double-decker buses, very comfortable. From León, Guanajuato, through Mexico City and on up to Cholula, which is a part of the city of Puebla. I always wanted to be at the base of, I always wanted to see Popocatépetl, the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not to have it erupt on me, but to at least go there and see it.
Mm-hmm.
So went to from Cholula, which is actually the city of Puebla, on up to the mountains. It was an hour plus at the wheel with an Uber driver who was all of 460 pesos, which is $23 roughly. Wonderful trip up the mountain. Could see the kind of sporadic emissions from the volcano. Hung out in the pueblos up there, back to Cholula, then from Puebla to Mexico City, and then over to the pyramids at Teotihuacan. So all I can say after this is that, and we were six. We were ranging, it was me and my wife, and then four kids ranging from 21 to 7. And I can tell you this is the most fabulous, uneventful in terms of things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Not entirely burgeoning tourism industry. For example, the hotels that we went to were generally wanting. They didn't have much in the way of occupation. But I will say that the cities themselves are dynamic and back to full business. Where you just don't have a either a much of a Mexican or a foreign tourism presence. That's kind of, you can see it lagging.
When I was a younger man, much younger man, we visited the pyramids outside Mexico City. And back in the day, I think you were allowed to climb on the pyramids. Do they still allow that, Keith?
No, they don't now.
No.
They don't because of the COVID restrictions.
Okay.
They do allow it. And I had been there also years ago.
It's
like one of the weird things that has stuck in my mind. I'm sure that the donkey is now long since dead. But there was a donkey at one of the entrances to the park that could actually consume a bottle of Fanta. I wanted to,
Fanta soda? Could consume a bottle of Fanta
consume
soda?
Yeah, a 500-milliliter bottle. It would actually take it out from your hand and lift it and drink it.
Oh, my goodness.
So in the world of Bollywood, that was not the motive in going back there. That donkey would now be in his 60s if he was still alive.
Yeah.
But INE, the anthropological and historical entity of the federal government, has the park open on a very graduated scale, only allowing 3,000 visitors a day, and you cannot go up the pyramids themselves. So
mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Once you're there and you find somebody that knows more than you, which in my case is very easy, basically anybody in the street, you can learn so much. And I can tell you that walking, they have a beautiful perimeter to the park as well. So you can walk the perimeter and see each of the, I think there's 9 entrances to it. Anyway, just beautiful evening. It rained. In fact, it hailed that night around Teotihuacan. And, you know, again, it's Mexico is as close to free as you can get. We were talking about wonderful boutique and upper scale hotels here that were running $40, $45, $50 a night in Teotihuacan. We stayed at a place with a cabin that was, you know, easily an 800 square foot cabin, maybe for the 6 of us. And the cost was, yeah, we had to struggle to spend $80 or $90 for that. Food, very inexpensive. It's remarkable to me, again, how inexpensive the country is. I mean, everything compared, if you compare traveling in Mexico today to comparing in the U.S., you're probably looking at a, you know, 30% or 35% of what it costs here. And again, the logistics were easy as can be. We flew back from, I said that we flew from Juarez to León, and that flight was inexpensive. And coming back from Mexico City back into Juarez was, again, $40, $45 plus the $20 for the use of the airport, which is, again, a set fee. We have the same things built into our airline tickets in the U.S. And although you don't see them in the ticket unless you go and you ask to see it itemized. But
Keith, let me add.
No, everybody was healthy. By the way, that's the thing that strikes me so much is that when people would come back from Mexico, you used to say, "Well, did you stay healthy?" You don't even ask that question anymore. We ate in the street. We ate in the street. We ate in restaurants. We ate everywhere from every kind of vendor, and it doesn't even occur to us at this point to think, you know, were we healthy or did we suffer any kind of digestive things? The topic just doesn't come up.
Let me ask you about the reentry into the United States.
Easy as can be. We did this one by ground, and after a good back and forth of what we had been doing and why we had gone to here and there, there was no. It was a cinch. And by the way, at the Paso del Norte Bridge in El Paso, the links Juarez and with El Paso, the wait yesterday morning was all of 15 minutes, if that. On the question of COVID, which is still one of the things that has people concerned and justifiably so, the Mexicans did not, they asked for a survey at Mexico City Airport, just say, did you have any symptoms? It was all on an honor system. So there was no requirement at all of any kind of test or anything more rigorous than that. My understanding is that on the international flights, you do have to go within 48 hours or 72 hours?
No, it's 3 days within your return to the United States.
And
this is every country on the face of the earth, with the exception of our St. Croix, the U.S., Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Guam, but any other country, you have to take a COVID test that is done in that country and show the papers at customs.
Okay, well, not here. Certainly, this is one of the benefits then of being able to come up right up to the border because if you fly to Tijuana or Mexicali or Juarez or Nuevo Laredo, you don't have to do any of that, and it's an international flight anyway. So, I mean, I'm sorry, it's a domestic flight, and so you needn't worry about any of that. But I will say that the service at every turn, both by bus and air, was superb. And again, to counter what you read so much in the U.S. press and elsewhere, there just wasn't anything at any point. And again, I'm traveling with kids, and we're entirely visible. It was nothing but a warm and gracious society at every turn. And we were in areas that were, you know, supposedly dangerous, but it proves to me what I've been maintaining for years in our conversations, and that is that 99% of all violence in Mexico is internecine. Mm-hmm. It is among family. It is among traffickers. And I'm not going to deny that. I'm just going to say that it doesn't affect the innocent. The crossfires just don't take out. They don't happen.
All right, Keith, excellent report, excellent trip report. A quick question, and I have less than a minute, and your answer is going to have to be like in 10 seconds. So returning by land from you cross back into Juarez, you did not have to take show results of a COVID test to return into the United States?
No, nothing whatsoever. That was 2 seconds.
Okay. Keith, thank you so much. Good report.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, the Buckmaster Show wrapping it up. A very full hour, to say the least, here on the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures for real estate and property management for their support of our live line. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, my name is Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back with you in about 23 hours. Have a great day.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030.